All right, I'm excited about tonight, man. Faith, part 19. Last time we got together, let's go to Hebrews 11:32. I hope you're digging this. That's an old statement. Hope you're digging this, man. By just breaking down Hebrews 11:32 instead of just running and just, you know, getting it over with, because again, I think a lot of teachers do that, and I don't want to do that because I believe there's a reason they're there. So let's dissect and unpack the purpose, and I think we'll learn a lot more than just saying their names. Is that cool? I think it is. So let's look at this, Sarah. It's very easy. He said, "What shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah and of David, also Samuel, and of the prophets." So let's go back to Gideon. We were talking about Gideon, and I gave you some of these statements, and I won't go through them all to be repetitious, but true faith will stand up and say enough is enough. True faith stands up and says enough is enough. Again, that's just something inside of you. That's just something inside of you. That's nothing you can really conjure up or fake. It is just something inside of every believer that just says, you know what, I had enough of this. Come on now. And you have to just draw the line with the devil, because if you don't do that, he will take advantage of all of us. And there's times when we do allow him, you know, more than an inch, he takes a mile. And we just have to wake up in our spirit and say, no, wait a minute, man. This is what the word says about me. Whether it's healing, depression, sickness, it doesn't matter, emotions, finances, you got to say enough is enough. Well, faith will do that. And you know what's the detonator for that? And this is, again, I like rehearsing or re-going over because you get new information. But the detonator for that faith to say enough is the Word of God. Because you begin to read the Word and all of a sudden, boom, you ever done that? You know, you're going through something else, you read a scripture, you go, yeah, that's it right there, devil. You know, and you find it and it blows up in your spirit. Well, that's what faith does. It just explodes in you. But the Word does that. The Word helps you. Because remember, faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So very powerful. And then faith will make you forget, fear. I said that last time, but fear will make you forget who you are and what is yours. And that is so true. That is so true. So let's go to Judges. We're going to look at a couple things. Judges chapter 6, only to refresh ourselves. And then we're going to continue on with Gideon and then hit a few other of the brothers up there. Is that all right? So Judges chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 1 just to do a look-see and get ourselves refreshed. And the children of Israel did what? Evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian for 7 years. So here they are, they're in trouble again. Sounds like a lot of us, right? We're in trouble again, did evil in the sight of God. But here they went into bondage. So God says, you know what? I'm going to deal with you. Next verse. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Well, wait a minute, this is God's people. What did they do? Evil. So God let a hand come against them, which was really his hand. See, a lot of times when we do things that are wrong, God allows the hand of the enemy to deal with us to correct. Now remember, we're not talking about when we just trip and say, oh man, I got gum on my shoe. It's not that. It's when we stay in rebellion. Then God sends that. So please understand it. Don't misunderstand me that, you know, you make a mistake and God's like, okay, that's it. But I had enough of you. He doesn't do that. If he did, we'd all be in a lot of trouble. Tony, you'd be in a lot of trouble, buddy. I'd be in a lot of trouble. You know, I wouldn't have much more hair. He'd just pull the rest out. But he doesn't. Watch it, brother. He doesn't do that. What does he do? He corrects us. He loves us. He woos us. He brings us back, blah, blah, blah. But if we're in direct rebellion, he will send a hand. He will send a hand. That's why you got to be careful when you pray for certain people that are really in rebellion, or you try to intervene and intercede. Sometimes you better step back, because that hand is God working, and he doesn't need you to help that hand. He can paddle himself. Is that all right? How many of y'all know that's the fact? But he does it because he loves us. Somebody said, yeah, well, thanks. But he does. If he doesn't, you're considered a what? You're a bastard. The Bible says that. You're a child of God. Yeah, if he disciplines you, but if you do not receive the correction of God, the Bible says you're a bastard. That's what it says. Okay, which it's not a cuss word. It just means that, you know, you're illegitimate. You're not who you're supposed to be. Look it up before you write me a letter. And because of the Midianites, believe me, trust me, the Midianites, the children of Israel, made them dens, which are the mountains and the caves, and strongholds. So we go over that again. What did they do, man? They freaked out. They went into fear. They went into the caves. He gave them the promised land. He gave all these miracles, everything that he did through Moses and through Aaron and everybody. They lost it because fear will make you forget who you are and what is yours. They were the children of God. They were the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What an amazing, and you know what's the wild thing about this? Again, this is extra, is that the fame of God was throughout all the pagan world. They knew about those great exploits of what Israel and God did together and Moses did together. They knew about Pharaoh. Who didn't know about that? That would be like Pee Wee Herman knocking Mike Tyson out before they ever touched gloves. He just, boom! It would have been all over the world, wouldn't it? This is what it was. Here's little Israel compared to the world and compared to Egypt. Boop, they were gone. Amazing, amazing. So now you see the story. So here's the setup. God throws Gideon in Hebrews 11:32 about faith because Israel was in deep trouble and they were full of fear. Anytime, watch this. This is again free and this is extra. Anytime there is a situation of fear, faith will always arise and overcome it. In other words, if there's a time in life that we'd ever needed faith, it's now. If there's ever a time that the church needs to rise up and speak to our community and speak to our nation and speak to the world with faith, it's now. I'm telling you, that's a powerful word right there. That's an anointed word right there. Because when fear begins to rise, faith rises even greater. And we have to allow it to come out. Remember, faith won't do it itself. It has to be activated. It has to be believed upon. You have to do your part. Amen? And you know, I want to just preach that right there for a little bit because we need to do that. So let's look at the story here. We're going to go a little further into Gideon here. But, man, I'm all flabbergasted over that because that was exciting. So remember, fear will imprison you and faith will what? Liberate you. Again, it's the same statement I just made. We can liberate the world. We can liberate people all around our communities and our lives and our family with our faith. So they were 7 years. They were being robbed. Verse 6. Would you go there real quick? We're going to come around this corner real quickly. But I want to set it up, especially if somebody's just watching who's been behind a little bit. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. So here you go. They're impoverished. So they're getting robbed. They were getting robbed for 7 years. They took everything that they had, as we talked about and taught last time. So then they finally cried. So faith is starting to do what? It's starting to arise. Because who did they cry to? Did they cry to a golden calf? Nope. They cried to the Lord. So they had to start have faith. They started to have faith in God. And so, you know what? Some would look at that and say, well, they cried out of desperation. Well, sometimes faith will produce desperation. Desperation produces faith. I mean, it's a part of us. Faith does have a cry. You might want to write that down too. That's extra. Faith has a cry. It's all different for all of us. Sometimes, you know, when I'm in a situation, all I could do is, God! That's ugly right there. God, help me! Come on, you ladies know what I'm talking about. Mascara running down and we do that, don't we? All right, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a cry of faith. All right, so next verse. I'm not spiritual like you guys. You guys, Lord God, I'm in a bad situation, amen. Take it from me, Jesus, as you strengthen me and anoint me. Not me, man. Sometimes I'm like, God, I don't know what to do. They're going to kill me. I don't want to go on their Sunday morning in front of them. No, I'm just kidding. I'll do that. I'm scared of them. Verse 7. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Mennonites. Remember that, Mennonites? And I love that. That the Lord sent a prophet. I love it. He sent a prophet. There you go. The cry went up. The faith went up. So God answers. Remember, he was still speaking to his people by prophets. He still does today, but he speaks to us as well individually. Isn't that great? Careful that you hear his voice right, but he does speak to you, and he speaks to you through his word, which he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Okay, so he rebukes them, right? He gets them really good. So go to verse 11, because this is where we're gonna jump into, man, we're in 20. Can you believe that? We're in part 20. So here we go. So last time we taught this, but we're gonna jump off it for this teaching. And there came an angel of the Lord, and he sat under the oak, which was in Ophrah, and that pertained unto Joash the Abizurite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So here we go. We're back into fear. Here he is. He's in fear. He hasn't cried out like everybody else has, so he's in fear. So here's Gideon. Picture this with me. He's just a young guy. And he's hiding out and threshing the wheat in a wine press, again, or by the wine press, which we taught last time, you don't do that. You put wine, grapes, in a wine press. That's what you do with it. But because he had such a small amount and he was using it to guard and to hide what he was doing, he did it right there. Then again, this shows you how fearful they were, because if they would have seen it from the mountaintops, what would have happened to them? They would have came down and took everything that they had. Notice this too. This is a very powerful principle I made up last time. I made this up last time. It was good. It was awesome. And they believed it. I told you this last time, that the wine press was made for wine, right? Wine press. But there was no wine. There was no grapes. There was no vineyards, because they took it all. And there's another spiritual principle about wine and joy and gladness and all that. So basically, they were in depression. Wouldn't you have had everything taken from you? Don't you feel that way when you pay taxes? Next verse. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now notice this here, as we're in part 20. He's hiding, he's fearful, he's like everybody else. The Lord had sent a prophet first to speak to the children of Israel because of their cry. Then God took it up another step. He said, okay, I'll help you with your cry. Even though you have backslidden, you don't believe what I've done, you forgot what your forefathers went through and what you went through and all these different things, I'm going to send now myself. So this is basically a theophany, where God comes, shows up, or even a Christophany, where Christ Jesus shows up himself. Anytime you see the angel of the Lord, it's speaking of the Godhead. So know that. Jesus is not New Testament. Jesus has always been. He's the Word, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? And the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. So here comes the words of faith. God begins to speak faith. Now, Gideon's probably standing there, and you got to watch the VeggieTales portion of Gideon. It's really good, isn't it, guys? I love it. He's like, me? But anyways, here's this young guy. He's hiding out by the wine press. Here's God Almighty. Hey, mighty man of valor. Who, me? You know, like we used to say back in the day, you talking to me? You know, imagine that. So either God needed glasses or God knew exactly who he was talking to. I think he knew exactly who he was talking to. And here's the thing, where faith began to arise. And it arises for you and I because he sees us better, bigger, and more blessed than we see ourselves. See, that's why you got to look in the mirror of the word of the word of God. You got to look in that mirror to see who you are. I can't paint the picture for you. I can only do so much as a pastor. I can only chip off certain parts of you and mold you and help you see who you really are. But you got to get in this thing. Is anybody here? In other words, my job's not to groom you. You got to learn how to groom yourself. Please learn how to groom. Do something with what you got. I mean, you know, aren't you glad that God doesn't judge by the natural? You're all in trouble. We're all in trouble, right? So we look at the word, and this is the mere reflection. So Gideon is in a he's in a transitional period here, and he says, you got to be real for a second here, folks. He had to be tripping out. I would. I'm over here hiding, you know, doing what I'm doing because I'm trying to feed my family, help Dad out. And here's God Almighty. Hi, you mighty man of valor. Really? Are you serious? But you know what? Don't we feel that way? When a pastor or the word of God comes to you somehow and God says something, you know, you can do this thing or you're the head and not the tail. Well, I sure don't feel like it. I feel like the tail. Don't we all? But God doesn't do that. God says, look, you are the head and not the tail. I'm not looking at your situation. I'm looking at who I see you as. Remember this, faith looks into the future and you look better in your future than you do right now. Faith looks into the future and you look better in your future than you do look right now. You need to write that down. I won't say it again. Right? You have to do that. So here's this is why he's in there. This is why we're teaching this. So next verse, I love that. Thou mighty man of valor. Mm-hmm. Next verse. And Gideon said to them, oh, my Lord. Read it like that. Oh, my Lord. If the Lord be with us, then why has all this befallen us? That's pretty bold. In other words, you want to come down here and tell me a mighty man of valor? What in the world's going on? Where have you been? Think about this. And this is okay. This conversation is okay because sometimes you have to reconcile faith in you. Man, that's y'all. I hope you're catching what I'm telling you. You have to reconcile faith in you. Sometimes you have to just move things around and say, "Oh, wow, okay, I see this in a new dimension." Because faith is weird. Faith is odd compared to the natural. The natural, you get up, you go to the bathroom, you get you something to eat, you put your car, you know, you get in your car, you do whatever. You're just mechanical. You're doing natural carnal things. But faith is so much opposite of that. Faith operates in the natural with you because obviously it's, you know, you have to live. But then all of a sudden faith arises and God tells you to go do this or go, and you're like, huh? I'm going to the store. You know what I mean? It's like Gideon, I'm doing this. No, you're a mighty man of valor. Do you see what I'm saying? And so he's getting this reconciled in his brain. I say this, and I don't mean this in any way negative, but when my wife and I first got married, you know, I was on the go, missions, this is what I want to do, and she was on board too. But there were things I would come home and tell her the Lord told me to do. She'd go, no, wait a minute. Right? Maybe, I mean, you know, we didn't have children, and she was full of faith. But me, I was like, we're going to go reach 5 countries this year. We're going on. Because the Lord spoke to me, and she's like, wait, 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 where? I said, we're going to Africa, we're going to Russia, we're going, you know, and all these things. And we did that year, we did with 5 places. But she had to reconcile the faith, that she had to get it all regulated and all figured out. And then when she was on board and she calculated and she got it, she's like, let's do it. And she went with me. Isn't that cool? So this is what he's doing. And he's sending him on, you know, he's complaining, but he's trying to figure this thing. Now he says, and where be all these miracles? All his miracles was our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us to the hands of the Midianites. He had a legitimate complaint. Where are you, God? Where have you ever felt that way? But what he was doing was really, he was actually jump-starting his faith. He was jump-starting his faith. And sometimes it's okay to question God. In fact, I think it's healthy to question God and say, Lord, you want me to do what? And in fact, this is very, very important. Most people, they say, I heard from God and I'm going to go do this. Well, why don't we just walk this thing out? Why don't we test this? Why don't we, if you can share with me what the Lord told you, let's work this thing and see what the Lord's going to do. I think that's healthy. And question the Lord and say, well, God, how am I going to do this? Now, he either tell you by faith or he might give you, some other answer, but he'll walk you through it, okay? I'm very cautious when someone comes to my office or comes to me and says, the Lord told me to go do this. Okay. How are you going to do it? I don't know. By faith. I'm just going to do it. No, you better pray. Okay? I can tell you a story some other time about it. Go back, please. And where be all the miracles saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt, but now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us to the hands? So he says, here we are. We're stuck in a rock in a hard place, literally, right? They're in the caves. Okay, now you can go. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Really? What might? I ain't got no might. I just complained to you. I just told you. I just tried to figure this thing out. You're the one that came down here and said, I'm a mighty man of valor. And I just said, where's the miracles and where have you been? Don't worry about that detail now. Go, Do you see how faith overlooks flesh and fear? See, God's the epitome of faith. He's the totality of faith, right? I mean, he doesn't have faith. He is faith. And he offers faith. He gives it out of his own self. But see how he stood? And he was like, here, I could just picture it permeating and coming out of him and permeating Gideon, an entire area, because he's full of glory, right? And I believe it was just pounding him with the glory and the faith. But that's the amazing thing he said. And the Lord looked upon him. So like, what was the Lord looking away? He wasn't. But you can see the Lord going, all right, Gideon, I got it, buddy. So he looks upon him, which means he put attention upon him. And he goes, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Now, VeggieTales says, I must save Israel. I must save Israel. Remember that? Some of y'all need to watch it again. Yeah, a little, what was he? Was he a grape? I don't know what he was. He was something small, right? I must save Israel. Right, go ahead. For the hand, have I not sent thee? Well, I don't know. See, God already saw it as it happened. He already saw it as done. See, faith does that. Faith sees the mission accomplished. Faith sees it already done. We're the one that freaks out in the process. We're the one that, gets the call from God, and then we're like, wow. I mean, and God's like, look, don't worry about the small stuff. I got it. I'm going to cover you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to make a way. I'll pay the bill. I'll pay the flight. Whatever it is he has to do, he's going to do it. He said, didn't I send you? I sent you. And I could just see Gideon going, whoa, wait, man, this is too much. I'm this little peasant boy, and now all of a sudden you're telling me I'm a mighty warrior, and I'm going to save Israel. And you sent me. And I'm talking to someone I've never seen before. Isn't faith wild? That's why I told you. All these statements I gave you before, faith sees things that no one else sees. I don't know if anybody else saw this. If they didn't, wouldn't you imagine that, just seeing Gideon talking and there's nobody there? His family was going, oh, we got a problem with little Gideon, little Gid. All right, watch this. Next verse. And they said unto him, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Read it. Please read it in context. Oh, my Lord. OMG. Oh, my Lord. Me? How am I going to say? Wherewith? Notice how he says wherewith. In other words, what am I going to use? Do you see what the flesh and the fear does? How am I going to do this, God? How are we going to raise up a church? How are we going to reach the world? How are we going to do this? Don't you know how many people we have? Don't you know how much money we don't have? Blah, 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 blah. Right? Wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. See, he's trying to get this reconciliated. He's trying to get it in his mind, in his head. He's trying to wrap himself around this. I want you to know something, that God does not require blind faith. Let me be careful, because people think that faith is a blind thing. Faith is not a blind faith. Faith gives you sight. You may not understand it. You may only get A, B, C, D, and M, L, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T is later. That doesn't mean it isn't from God. We want it from A to what? Z. Spell it out. And the Lord's like, I'm not spelling it out. I could do it backwards, frontwards. He's not going to. He'll give you the end. He say, I'm going to send you to nations, and you're going to do great things for me. Well, he didn't tell you about getting imprisoned. He didn't tell you about being stoned. He didn't tell you about being robbed. He didn't tell you about... Because if God gave you the full plan, you wouldn't do it. If God gave us the full plan about life, as soon as we found out, we're like, I'm done. Take me now. I'm finished. I want to be saved, but I don't want to live here anymore. Right? He doesn't do that. We want to do that. That's why I always said, you know, when they get saved, we all just shoot them, and then, you know, they ain't got to worry about nothing. No, we don't do that. And he said, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I say? Behold, my family's poor. I'm the least. Again, that's the flesh, that's fear. And again, he's trying to figure this thing out. And you're watching, ready for this, you want to write down. There's a process of faith. There is a process of faith. Now, what happens in the process of faith, the more you go through the process of faith, the more mature your faith becomes, and the more of the measure of faith you get, and the more God trusts you. If every time you fight God over a little portion and parcel and piece of faith, he'll just get to the point where, here's a snack. This is all I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a faith snack. Is anybody with me? And your measure of faith, you'll have saving faith, but you won't increase your faith. The ever-increasing, growing faith will not be a part of your life. So when God gives you an assignment or he tells you to do something, you take it and you begin to walk it out. And then as you do that, God will develop your faith more and more and more. Again, I've used this testimony, and I love Dr. Summerall's testimony. I love all the great saints of the past. Not too many today I really like quoting. But Dr. Summerall used to buy millions and millions of dollars worth of TV stations with nothing. Nothing. Just go in there and sign his name. You don't believe me? It's true. It's absolutely true. Now, he had credit, and he had a good life. He had a good name. But he would go into a certain place and say, I'm not giving you a dime. I don't have the money. And by faith, he knew he would have the money, and he'd have the money. Look up the old saints who used to believe God for tremendous things, for orphanages that were going to be closed down, and say they needed £1 million. Which over was in the UK. I can't remember the gentleman's name right offhand. And what happened? The day they were going to close the school down, he received his money. This is way, way back before the internet. I love those stories, don't you? But if we stop right here and act like Gideon, well, let's look what God does. But if we act like him, we're going to lose. Next verse. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Wow. So notice, I will be with you, and you're going to be as though one man. Why? Because I'm going to be with you. The faith of God would be in Gideon. The faith of God is in you. The faith of God is in me. The faith of God is in all of us that are believers of Jesus Christ. That great conquering, overcoming, overtaking, overwhelming faith is in us. Thank you. One guy. Hallelujah. Everybody else is like, me? I must save Israel? Yes. Next verse. And he said unto him, I was thinking to say hallelujah. He just beat me. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Now notice as he finds grace. Now we, growing up Baptist, growing up, you know, fundamental, whatever, you know, non-denominational is what I was trying to get at too, and Protestant. We always say that grace is the unmerited favor of God. Grace, man, it's unmerited favor of God. You just can't earn it. Well, really, grace is more than that. Grace means anointing, and grace also means access. When you're graced, you have been granted access into something. You've been granted entrance into something. So what he was saying is, if I have found the entrance into this plan, the entrance into your heart, the entrance into your promises, the entrance into faith, if I have found it, Lord, let it be granted unto me. And then he brings it to a point, he said he wants him to see a sign. Now, I'm going to go past this for reasons of teaching, but he you know the story, he puts out a fleece. People ask me, and people have done it, you know, they believe in fleeces. I do not believe in fleeces. I don't believe in fleeces because fleeces are like chances. Fleeces are like flipping a coin. God doesn't have to prove anything to me. He's already proved to me. He spoke to me in his word. So I take his word by faith. He didn't say, by fleecing, you will please me. He said, by faith, you will please me. And so sometimes fleeces can be a gamble. And then fleeces could also be answered by the devil. So be very careful. I do not put fleeces out. Lord, if you just turn, you know, whatever. No, I don't do that. Lord, if you call me to do, here's what I do. If the Lord has told me to do a specific thing, a directive, I will say, Lord, I believe that's your voice, but I just want confirmation. I just want to walk this thing out. I just want to make sure. And I, you know, I know your voice, but I want to obey properly. And you know what? All of a sudden, boop, 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 the bricks will start laying in, and it's the right way to go. You know, and people get all prideful, like, no, I've heard from the Lord. I'm telling you, I heard from God. And they make a tremendous mistake instead of just being cool about it. Because God's not in a hurry. God is not in a hurry. He doesn't want you to mess up. He doesn't want me to mess up. Okay? The devil does, and the devil surely will make you mess up. Okay, so let me go to the next verse, because I'm going to see where I want to go from here. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come. So God's dealing with his faith. So a part of that understanding, without going into the whole teaching of the fleece issue, is he's still trying to understand his faith. He's still trying to understand what God is requiring of him, and he needs that confirmation. So outside of the methodology of Gideon, understand the message, and the message is that God will allow that faith to be confirmed. Is that okay? That's a good way of saying it. He will allow that faith to be confirmed. I'll tell you that story I was going to tell you about two missionary girls. They were in Bible college, and they had a word from the Lord that they were going to go to Africa. And so they got all real pumped up, and they got their money together and different things, and they went to Africa, and they were absolutely failures. They were absolutely failures. The whole ministry, nothing worked out. They were in lots of trouble. They were in money troubles, and they came back to the United States with no money and no faith and left their salvation because they thought they heard from God. And there's many stories like that if you read the old stories of missionaries. Okay? God doesn't want that for you and me. There's a lot of people got married to the wrong person too. I wish I had somebody help me. Thank you, sister. Judges chapter 7. Let's go there real quick. Judges chapter 7. And, you know, you just got to be careful. So, you know, people say, oh, you guys look so cute together. You ever been in church like that or some Christian group? Oh, you guys, you're spiritual. Look at you guys. I feel the Lord all over you two. And then 6 months later, they're calling each other's eyes out because they thought prophetically they were joined together. And don't listen to people. Do not listen to people. Listen to the Holy Ghost. Okay, so where are we? So we're at Judges chapter 7. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, this was another name they gave him, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. All right, they're fixing to duke it out, right? So check this story out. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many to give to the Midianites in their hands. Wait a minute, man. Now notice this, in his faith and his obeying God, he does what? He equips himself in the flesh. He thinks, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to accomplish this by my flesh. Sound familiar? God tells us to do something, but we're going to try to finish it in the flesh. Remember what Paul's talking about to the Galatians? I didn't have time to go through all that. You know, they begin in the spirit, but what? They ended up in the flesh. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. So he also takes the pride element out of this. This is why I tell you, with faith, if God is involved, watch this, it'll be impossible for you to do it on your own. That is true faith. If you can do it, then God probably didn't tell you to. I really believe that. If you got the skills and the ability, and I can handle this, and I don't have to pray no more, and I don't have to believe God, I don't have to fast, I don't have to worship, I can handle this, I don't believe God talked to you. Because again, God will never create a world where faith is not needed. And God will never give you a vision. God will never give you a plan, a promise without faith. Got to get rid of this pride that we have. I can do this thing. I'm going to be honest with you. You can call it a crutch all you want. I need God. I mean, I break down sometimes with God. I'm like, I don't know what God can't do. Don't you? I mean, you're stronger than me, but man, I'm just like, God, how am I going to do this? I do it like, how am I going to do this? Right? But look what God says, next verse. Now, therefore, go to and proclaim in the ears of the people, thanks, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, whoa, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead, and there returned of the people 22,000. Woo! Could you imagine being a leader and a commander or whatever and say, all right, whoever's scared, y'all get out of here. Hey, wait a minute, man. That's a lot of people. Right? Now you know Gideon had to be questioning his faith. Who was that that appeared to me? Right? See, watch this. On the journey of faith, you'll have times like that when it won't make sense because faith doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Faith does not make sense to the natural senses. Why am I getting on an airplane that I have no wings for to fly all the way over to Africa to minister to these people? You know, why are we doing this? Can you not raise up somebody over there? Right? You ever thought about that or whatever? Right. So God puts in the impossible when it comes to faith. So whosoever is fearful of faith. So 22,000. Isn't that 22,000? Yeah, I went to school. And there remained how many? 10,000. That means he had 32,000. Yay! Public education at its best. 32,000 people. Now he's got 10,000. You talk about depression. Wow. That sounds like those over in Russia trying to get out of the border. Now watch this. Next verse. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Wait a minute now. You trying to kill me now. This is a setup. I bind you, devil. I rebuke you. You ever get in that situation? You're in a situation. You know God told you to do it. You have confirmation. All of a sudden, it looks like everything just fell apart. And you're like, thanks, God. And you blame the devil for doing it. And God's like, hang on. Hang on. You're going from faith to faith. Your measure of faith is increasing. Just relax. Right? Watch this. So bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. Notice he says, I'm going to try them for you. No, wait a minute. You've already ran off 22,000 people, God. I don't think I need you trying anything, right? Wouldn't you say that to him, kind of, sort of? And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. Why don't you just do it that way? And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. Okay, next verse. And so he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. Next verse. So it's a separation, right? And a number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon the waters to their knees to drink water. Why was that? Why did God choose the 300? Because as you lap water like a dog, you're looking. When you bow down to the water, all you see is yourself, the reflection. Those that were looking as cautious, looking as attentive, looking as what faith would do. Faith would look at the mission. Faith looks at what's before them. So you got to be careful, those who look at themselves, because fear will see yourself. If I look at myself in the mirror, I'm fearful because I'm flesh. I know my limitations. Help me. I know my inability. I know my failures. But if I look in the word and I drink of the word and see the word properly, I won't see myself. Does that make sense? And I won't be fearful. So next verse. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men, thanks, that lapped, I will save you. Oh, now we got a problem, right? 32,000 down to 10,000 down to 300. I didn't hear from God. I did not hear from God. And he said, and these are the ones lapping like dogs. Great. Go dogs. They were from Georgia, by the way, if you didn't know that. Everybody else, don't write me. Somebody in Tennessee's like, I'll come down there and get you. Are you with me? Or wherever you're from. I don't really care about the Bulldogs, so don't get mad at me. And I will say, watch out. I was, what? What did he say? I'm out of this church. I'm gone, man. I knew he was a liar. Okay, I love all the teams. Except the Patriots. Oh, that's the wrong thing. All right. And deliver the Midianites unto thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man into his place. He's got to be. I don't know how it would be if I just saw this mass exodus and God saying, don't worry about it. I got it. Yeah. You're sending me out there to die. All right. Next verse. And so the people took viticles in their hand and their trumpets. I got a banana. I got a hot dog. I got some meanie weenies. Could you imagine that? Go get you some grub. How about a sword? You see how faith is working? It's a funny story, but it's an amazing, powerful truth. But just, can you picture? Use your brain for a second. They took viticles in their hand and trumpets. That's what we need, a trumpet. And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent. I could see guys leaving going, man, they're nuts. I'm glad I'm out of here. A beanie weenie. All right. And he retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him. Oh, my gosh, I'm about to laugh. In the valley. There's 300 guys looking down the valley. There's all these guys. All right, next verse. I think we have to stop. I don't want to. Next verse somewhere. Is there another verse? Oh, I'm sorry. I was gone for a second there. I had my hot dog in one hand. I mean, I was there. I was really there. That was awesome. I must save Israel. You got any ketchup? All right, this is it. And it came, I was gone. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to them, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered into your hand. God, you're hilarious. He is amazingly funny, isn't he? Please read the Bible the way I believe is intended to be read. Not all this, and God called them, and they, you know. No, man. This, and see, faith can do this. This is what faith does. Faith looks at things. It's absolutely ridiculous in the natural eyes. How in the world are you going to do this? But he will do it. He will do it. He promised he would do it. Amen. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to teach this about Gideon. Lord, we're learning so much, and so much of it is a reflection of us and what we need to do. Help us to be strong like Gideon, to recognize and realize that we are men of value. We're women of value and value. We're strong in the power of your might. You said so. And may we realize that in a time when fear abounds, let your faith and grace abound in us all. In Jesus' name, amen.